Making a wee start to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 263. 263 on the page 282 of your hymn book. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 263, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing. Shall we just look to the Lord in a word of prayer, asking for His help and blessing and presence this evening? Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we still our hearts, O God, before Thee this evening hour, and we approach Thee, O God, tonight upon redemption ground. We come to Thee in and through the name of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we thank Thee tonight, O God, for the glorious message of the gospel, for that great mystery that Thou hast made known unto us, the sinful sons of men, and that Thou didst send Thy Son into this world to be our Savior. We thank Thee for the perfect life of Jesus Christ, who did no sin, who knew no sin. And Father, we thank Thee that He came to be our sin bearer upon the cross of Calvary. And we, Father, we thank Thee, O God, that there upon that cross He bore upon Himself the wrath of God, the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. He cried out upon the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that Christ was forsaken for us, that we might never be forsaken by knowing Him and by trusting Him as Savior. Father, we thank Thee that Christ died, that He cried out on the cross, it is finished. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that He is alive forevermore, that He defeated death, that He defeated sin, He conquered the grave, and that He rose again triumphant, never to die again. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight that we serve and we preach and we proclaim a risen Savior. And O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee for Thy mercies and Thy blessings, O God, toward us today already. We thank Thee, Lord, for this new year that Thou spared us and brought us into to see, Lord. And we give Thee thanks and praise for all Thy love and mercy and kindness toward us in 2022. And we thank Thee for all the blessings of God that Thou didst give to us. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that there's no lack with God. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast promised on Thy word that the Lord is able to give Thee much more than this. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And O God, as we come to Thee in this evening of Thy day, we pray for Thy blessing to be our portion. We pray, Lord, that we might know a gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. We pray that every heart and every soul, from the very youngest to the oldest, will be open to Thy word and to hear the voice of God. We thank Thee for all who have been able to gather here this evening. Do bless every head bowed before Thee. Lord, our faces would differ, and so do our needs. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that Thou art able to meet us at the very point of our need. And Father, we pray that Thou will come tonight by Thy Holy Spirit and brood over this gathering and have Thy way in every heart and every life. Bless each and every child of Thine in our meeting. We thank Thee for each and every one that can rejoice tonight in Christ as their Savior, who can rejoice in their sins forgiven and can say indeed with the hymn writer, no condemnation now I dread, Jesus alive and Him my living head. And Lord, bless Your people and encourage the saints of God and lead Thy people on with Thyself and help us to live closer, Lord, to Thee in this new year. Help us, Lord, to die more and more to self, to sin, and to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ, that by our life and by our testimony, O God, that others might be spoken to and might be pointed to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For any tonight who may be cold at heart, maybe, Lord, wandering afar from Thee, Lord, give restoring grace tonight to such, we pray. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art married to the backslider. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast promised a restoring grace. We pray that such might know that touch from the Lord even tonight. And Lord, for any with us tonight unsaved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt save them by the grace and power of God, that even, Lord, they might begin this new year with Christ as their Savior, knowing the joy of sins forgiven, and on their way to heaven, O God, we ask. Bless all our homes and our families tonight represented. Meet the need of each and every home and family, we pray. Unite our family circles in the Lord and grant that Thy presence and Thy blessing and Thy grace will be known in a mighty and a powerful way, even in all our homes and amongst our families and family circles, Lord, this year we ask. Remember, Lord, those who may be listening in online tonight, Lord, bless them, minister to them by thy Spirit and through thy word, as thou would see their needs, we ask. And Father, we do pray, O God, that thou wilt bless our congregation this year. Remember every witness from it, Lord. We think of the children's work, the youth work, the Sabbath school work, the outreach ministry, the online ministry. And Lord, may thy hand of blessing be upon every avenue of service, Lord, for thee. And Lord, bless the going forth of thy word in this town and this community and further afield. We pray that thou wilt build thy church, that thou wilt extend thy kingdom, and that there'll be those that will seek the Lord while he may be found. Remember, Lord, those that are unable to join with us tonight, Lord, those who are sick and ill, those that are led aside, Lord, in beds of sickness, draw near, Lord, make up their bed of sickness, we ask. And Lord, may they know that touch that comes from the Lord. And Lord, those that have suffered loss in recent times, even, Lord, here in this very community, comfort their hearts, we pray. And Lord, grant them to know the blessing and the grace and the comfort of the Lord to be their portion, O God, we ask. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember every faithful servant of God. Wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that thou wilt bless it, we pray. That thou wilt use it, O God, we ask. And that here, there, and yonder, across our land tonight, north and south of the border, that there'll be those who will seek the Lord, those who will trust the Lord for salvation, we pray. Do remember also, Lord, the minister's week of prayer this week in Korean. Grant your blessing to be upon it. Now bless the times of prayer, the preaching of your word, and may it be a time of rich blessing from the Lord to thy servants, we pray, that each and every one would be strengthened and invigorated afresh by the mighty Spirit and by the power of the Lord. Do us good now, we pray, as we further praise thy name, as we read thy word, Lord, as we seek to preach thee the message of the gospel. Give help tonight in the Holy Spirit, we pray. Lead and guide and direct in all that will be said and done. And Lord, bring glory and honor unto our Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. We're going to further praise the Lord this evening by singing together the hymn number 394, 394 in your hymn book, another great hymn of testimony. O Christ, in thee my soul have found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. 394 is the hymn number, and the page 336 standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you. You have your Bible with you tonight. We'd ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Genesis, to the first book of the Bible, to Genesis chapter number 6, and to the verse 1 of that chapter for our Bible reading this evening. We're reading from Genesis chapter 6 and the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this evening. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 13. And we pray that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts this evening. I want to welcome everyone tonight in this first Lord's Day service of 2023. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here tonight. We bid you a very warm word of welcome. And if you're visiting with us, it's a joy to have visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home and that you'll know the Lord's blessing in your heart and in your soul. If you're a Christian tonight, may you be strengthened and led on with God, drawn closer to the Lord, your Savior, tonight and this year. And if you're not saved, our prayer burden is that even tonight you'll come and trust the Lord and begin this year walking with the Lord, even in God's salvation. We welcome also those who may be viewing online as well. We thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will bless you and minister to you as he would see your need through his word and through his truth. This evening, announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is building fund offering. Do remember that, please. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, the first prayer meeting of this new year. And our brother, Mr. David Wilson, a licentiate minister of our presbytery, will be along to take that meeting. So do keep Tuesday night free. Trust as many as possible. Gather for the time of prayer and do encourage your brother as well. By your presence around God's word and the throne of grace on Tuesday night. Friday night, 8 p.m., the youth fellowship recommences again. Commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. Brother Mr. Ian Moore will be speaking to the young people on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 8th of January, Sunday school and Bible class recommences at 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service, 7 p.m., and both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and in the will of the Lord, we'll be long to bring God's word. Do please remember in your prayers this week, the annual Minister's Week of Prayer down in Coleraine, from tomorrow afternoon through to Friday afternoon. Do pray for those meetings, the times of prayer, times of preaching, and the fellowship that the Lord would bless and pour out his Spirit upon his servants as they meet to pray this coming week. And then our own annual week of prayer will be here in the church from Monday night, the 9th of January, through to Thursday night, the 12th of January, each night at 8 p.m. just for an hour or so. We encourage you to keep those nights free and to join with us. How important it is to pray and to bring the different aspects of God's work before the Lord in prayer. This coming weekend as well is the annual missionary weekend at our Ballymoney Church. Friday night, the 6th of January, 8 p.m. Saturday night, the 7th of January at 7:30 p.m. There's various missionary speakers from around the world. Pray for those meetings. If you're able to go along and support them, then do, and you'll be blessed, no doubt, through the ministry of the Lord's servants. We pray that the Lord will bless you all also as a congregation this year, and we wish you all a happy new year and God's richest blessing for 2023. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 91. The hymn number 91. We don't take up an offering, but the offering plates are at the rear. Do remember that as you leave. This is a great old gospel hymn. It says, "Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard." Hymn number 91 on the page 213. And we'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. Final verse and chorus.
Thank you.
Turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the book of Genesis, to the chapter number 6. And with God's Word open before us, let us just unite our hearts together, please, in a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting tonight, for the singing of Thy praises. We thank Thee for these old hymns that remind us of Christ and of Thy love and grace in salvation toward us. We thank Thee for the reading of Thy precious Word, and that Thy Word is truth, and it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, as we come now to consider Thy Word, Lord, open up our hearts and minds, even like Lydia of old, to attend unto Thy Word. May we not just hear tonight with the ear, but with the heart. And that, Lord, through Thy Word may saints be blessed. May, Lord, sinners be converted unto Thee. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be honored and glorified. Father, to this end, fill me now afresh with the Holy Ghost. Give help and power and enablement and liberty to preach and proclaim Thy Word. And let the Word of the Lord have free course and be, Lord, glorified among us this night. Do every heart much good, and bless Thy truth and apply it to our hearts by Thy Spirit, as Thou wouldst see our need. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, our text for this evening you'll find in the opening part of verse number 3 of Genesis chapter number 6, where it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Now, on this first Lord's Day evening service of 2023, I want us to consider together a most a solemn warning. And that warning is one that speaks really of the time whenever God's patience comes to an end. Now, we live in an age really when little is said about that time whenever God's patience draws to an end. And when we speak here about the ending of God's patience, we are speaking particularly of that time when the Holy Spirit stops striving in the heart of the sinner. And it is this solemn reality and warning that our text speaks of this evening here in verse 3 of Genesis 6, where it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Now, these words here tonight in this text, they refer to the days of Noah, prior to the great flood. And the flood really was a time whenever God allowed the whole earth to be swallowed up with water. And with the exception of Noah and his family and those animals that were in the ark, everything else and everyone else was to perish upon the face of this earth. Why was there a flood? Well, this flood was God's universal judgment upon a sinful world. Look at verses 5-7 there of the chapter. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repent of me that I have made them." Look at verse 17 also of the chapter. Here again the Lord is speaking. He says, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Now, to escape this flood, God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. And while the ark was preparing for 120 years, God's Spirit strove with mankind because of its sin. And when the flood came, it was a sign that God's patience with that old sinful world and the generation at that time, it was a sign that God's patience had come to an end, that their time was up upon this earth. And friends, tonight in this first gospel meeting of 2023, this is a truth that we all must realize, and it's a truth that we must consider. Because God says, I am the Lord, I change not.
Therefore, God's attitude against sin, it is still the same. The Bible tells us that His wrath is against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. Therefore, there is a time when God's patience with sin and God's patience with sinners stops and comes to an end. There is a time, yes, whenever the Holy Spirit stops striving in the hearts of men and women and individuals. And friends, this is a terrible reality, a terrible thing that can happen. Indeed, how terrible it would be if God's patience were to end even with some individual. Even in our gathering tonight, if God's patience were to end with you tonight or this year. And for that reason, then, I want us to consider the solemn warning here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, where the Lord says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." First of all, tonight, I want you to notice here that this warning here, it teaches us, yes, that God's Holy Spirit does strive with man. Our verse says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men." And the very fact that God uttered those words in the day of Noah, it is proof to us, it is evidence that God strives with men and with mankind by His Holy Spirit. That word strive there in the verse, it literally means to contend with, if you like, to remonstrate with. And it really shows to us the length that God Himself is prepared to go so that sinners can be saved. Yes, God does strive with men. Why? To bring them to that place of repentance toward God. To bring them to that place of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We are told over in the book of 2 Peter that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again in 1 John chapter 3, and in the verse number 23, we read these words. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, and it says, "This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." And this is God's will for sinners in the gospel, that they repent of their sin and that they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone, as Savior. Yes, we live in a day when many people tell us that man is getting better. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. The very fact that God must strive with man to get him to repent of his sin and to seek Christ for salvation, it is really proof that man is not getting better morally, but rather he is growing worse morally before Almighty God. And the reason why mankind is waxing worse and worse instead of getting better is because man is a sinner by nature before Almighty God. And because of that sinful nature, man, he defies God. Man, he rebels against God. He lives in a state of war against God. As the Bible puts it, he is at enmity with God. You turn in your Bible over to the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8, and you'll see this for yourself as Paul here writes about man and his state as a sinner before God. Romans chapter 8, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And you go down to verse 7 and verse 8 of the chapter and look at what is said. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and verse 8. Paul here is speaking about man, carnal man as a sinner before God. And he says, "Because the carnal mind," notice it, "is enmity." That means to be at war against God. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And there you see that man's mind is against God. It's not subject to God's will, God's commands. We're told there that man by nature cannot please God. You turn a little bit over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, and you go down there to the verse number 12 of the chapter. Here Paul was writing to the believers, those who were saved in the church at Ephesus, and he was speaking to them about their state as a sinner before God in verse 12. And he says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. And those verses, they speak to us about man in his state as a sinner, a rebel before God, a man who is hopeless and helpless before God. Man by sin and nature, he lives in defiance of God. And this is why man is not getting better morally. This is why man is growing worse and worse in the sight of God. My, the hymn writer could say, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and I felt not my load. And why did the hymn writer say those words who were speaking of their state as a sinner before God, a stranger to God, away from God, no concern about God, no concern about their life, how they were living, or their sin before God? Dear friend, tonight in this meeting, if you're still unsaved, can I say this is your condition before God? Because of your sin by nature, the Bible says you are without Christ. You are without hope in this world. You are without God in this world. And you're on the broad road to an everlasting eternity in hell itself, to that place of everlasting woe, and by nature, in your sinful condition, your heart is one that is at enmity against God. By nature, your heart is a rebel before God. Yes, because of this sinful condition, even in your heart, yes, God strives in mercy with you. And he strives in mercy with you. Why? That you might be saved from your sin. That you might be saved from your lost condition by you repenting of your sin, turning from your sin, and turning in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him for salvation. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And friend, if you're not saved, this is God's will for you tonight, that you would repent of your sin, that you'd be converted. Yes, in love, the Lord strives with you so that you might come to that place of repentance before God, and to that place of saving faith and trust in Christ. The Bible says, the goodness of God, it leadeth thee to repentance. The Lord says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Why does God strive with men, with women, with young people by his Spirit, so that they might come to repentance, come to the place of faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone as Savior? In Noah's day, yes, the people were given over to sin. Genesis chapter 6, it tells us that. But it also tells us that Noah himself was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was an Old Testament preacher of the Word of God, and by his preaching, God strove for 120 years in the hearts of the people during the day of Noah. Now, we see that from verse 3 again of our text. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And during that period of time, Noah preached, and God, by his Holy Spirit, he strove in the hearts and the minds of the people through his word and through the message and through the truth that Noah proclaimed. Likewise, dear friend, yes, God strives with your heart. And how does he strive? He strives with your heart through his word, by the reading of his word, and especially by the preaching of God's word. Does God strive in the hearts of sinners? In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And perhaps you have often heard those words. And as you've heard them, you've often been troubled and concerned in your heart about your own sin. That's the Spirit of God striving within. Again, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says there, for the wages of sin is death. And again, perhaps that's a verse that you've often heard. maybe from your earliest days, and if you've heard it, you've been troubled about the awful end of your sin, the awful consequences of your sin, that your sin is taking you down to hell. And that's the Spirit of God striving, working in your heart and in your soul. Again, in Romans chapter 5, in the verse number 8, it says there, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And again, perhaps that's a verse you've often heard, a wonderful verse that speaks to you and I about the wonderful love of God and sending his Son, his only Son, to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And again, you've maybe often heard that verse, and as you've heard those words, you've been challenged in your own heart. As you thought of the Lord's love toward you and going to the cross and dying on the cross for sinners, your heart has been stirred through the Word of God. Again, that's the Spirit of God striving with your heart and striving with your soul. Again, think of the words of Romans chapter 10 and the verse 13 where it says there, "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a promise from the Word of God that tells us that if a person calls upon Christ, the Lord will save them from their sins. And again, perhaps it's the case, this is a verse you've often heard, maybe from your earliest of days. You've learned it, been taught it, maybe in Sunday school, children's meetings, maybe from a Christian parent, whatever. And as you think of those words, yes, you've been challenged personally about your need, about your responsibility to call upon the Lord, to trust the Lord for salvation. Again, that's the Spirit of God at work in your heart, striving with your soul. Oh, yes, as God is striven in your heart by His Spirit and by His Word, please understand tonight it's a sign, it's a token of God's love toward you. When God strives with a sinner, it's the proof of the love of God. It's the proof of the mercy of God. It's the proof of the grace of God. Why does God strive with sinners, those who have rebelled against Him, those who have broken His law, those who have defied Him, those who have rebelled against Him? It's because the Bible tells us that God is love. The Bible tells us the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. The Lord is long-suffering and He's abundant in goodness and truth. Oh, friend, tonight as you think of these words, when God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man," see the truth here that God by His Holy Spirit does strive with man. And friend, if God is striving in your heart tonight by His Spirit, it's a token of divine love, divine mercy, and divine grace toward you. Yes, this text teaches us, yes, that God by His Holy Spirit does strive with man. But secondly, tonight we see that this warning here in our text, it also teaches us that God's Holy Spirit will not always strive with man. For that's what God says here in our text. He says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. In the context here of Noah, in the old world before the flood, after 120 years, God, by His Holy Spirit, ceased to strive. He stopped striving, stopped speaking, stopped striving with this ungodly world in Noah's day. Yes, while Noah built the ark and while Noah preached for 120 years, God spoke and God strove. But as the people did not listen and as the people did not repent, God's patience ended, and then God's holiness and righteousness were now going to be seen and manifested to the world at large. You look at verse 1 of the next chapter, chapter 7, notice what it says. It says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me and this generation." My God, Noah was the only one who was righteous and his family before the Lord. And at the end of 120 years, God spoke to Noah and God called Noah and his family and the animals into the ark. Notice the testimony of Noah in verse 9 of chapter 6. It says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. But he was complete different from the rest of society in large in the world at that particular time. Hence, God called him and his family and the animals that were to be spared into the ark. And then he sent the flood of judgment upon this ungodly world for its sin. Look at chapter 6 there, verses 11 and 12. Look at what it says. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Go over again to chapter number 7 and look at what you read in verse 17 of that chapter. It says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Then in verse 21 and verse 22 of chapter 7 it says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. What an awful judgment. You can picture the scene in your mind's eye whenever the flood came. No doubt there was those that would have tried to get into the ark, but they couldn't get into the ark. Why? Because God's patience had ended and God had shut the door. God had shut Noah and his family into the ark. Look at verse number 16 of chapter 7. It says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. And it says, and the Lord shut them in. And whenever God shut that door that could not be opened from the outside, there was no open door. Why? Because God's patience with sinful man had come to an end. His spirit had stopped striving with man. You know, when we think about it, we can say the same thing happened with Pharaoh. Pharaoh in the day of Moses, who spoke and said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? He had no time to listen to the word of God and the ways of God. And God's patience had ended with sinful Pharaoh. And he and his army drowned in the depths of the Red Sea. The Bible says, the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And again, there are many more examples of this in the Bible with God's patience coming to an end. God's patience running out with sinful, rebellious man before the Lord. Oh, unsaved friend, tonight be warned. Yes, there is a time when God's patience, God's long-suffering, and God's forbearance comes to an end. Yes, you may have heard the gospel often, maybe heard the gospel many, many times. Yes, you may have often heard of your need to repent of your sins, your need to be born again, your need to come by faith to Christ for salvation. You have often heard that it is only through Christ and Christ alone that you can reach heaven, for he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yet despite that knowledge and having often heard these words, you're still unsaved, even at the beginning of 2023. Let me say this, the longer you resist and refuse God's voice, then the time, yes, may well come when God speaks no more and God allows your heart to harden in sin. That is why the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And when that happens, you'll perish in your sin. You'll go out into a lost eternity. You turn in your Bible over to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1, and you'll see this for yourself. God speaks of this very fact. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24, and down to verse 28 of that chapter here, God is speaking of those that turn away from the Lord, do not listen to the Lord, do not yield to his voice. And in verse 24 of Proverbs 1, the Lord says, because I called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, and when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer thee. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Oh, a very solemn passage of Scripture indeed. And it's God there speaking of how he gives up people to their sin. Those who have heard the gospel, those who have been spoken to, those whom his Spirit has striven with and strived with, yet they have refused, they have rejected. And God says, I will mock when your fear cometh. I will laugh at your calamity. In other words, such are left to their sin, and such are left to perish in your sin and their sin. Friend, realize tonight that these words are true. This is the word of God. These words are real. These words are certain. God here is speaking. He tells of a time whenever he leaves the sinner to his sin. It's an awful thing, a solemn thing. Whenever God leaves a person to their sin. You know, over the years I've heard many Christians giving a word of testimony. And it was the fear of God ceasing to speak. It was the fear of God ceasing to strive with their heart that drew them to repentance and drew them to faith and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I remember an elder in one of our churches who's now in the glory giving his testimony. It was these very words in our text tonight here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3 that he spoke of that were used of God to bring him to Christ. It was this very fear when God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, that he feared lest God should speak no more to him and leave him in his sin. And thus it was the means of leading him to Christ, him putting his faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Yes, dear friend, the Holy Spirit may be striving with your heart and striving with your will tonight. Yes, impressing upon your mind, your heart, your need to repent of your sin, get right with God and be saved. But I want to warn you tonight that if you resist his voice, you could well be resisting his voice for the last time. Our text, you see, tells you that this is possible. For God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Therefore I say to you tonight, dear friend, unsaved of the words of Paul, I beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Listen to God. Listen to his voice. Listen to his word. Listen to his truth. See that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Yes, we see here how God strives with hearts. We see, yes, in this warning how God may stop striving with hearts. But one other thought just in connection with our text in it is this, that this warning, it teaches us that sudden destruction can come upon the sinner when the Holy Spirit ceases to strive. You see, in Noah's day, the flood came suddenly. It came swiftly, and the world perished except Noah and his family. Look at chapter 7 there of Genesis in verse 10. It says, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And my, this is a solemn warning to all who resist God's Spirit. The Bible says, he that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. You see, death can come suddenly. Death can visit suddenly those who resist God's voice and resist the striving of the Spirit of God. You remember what Paul said to those in Corinth. He says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. When he talks there about sleep, he's referring to those who had died in Corinth, and those they were who had partaken of the Lord's table while living in open sin and rebellion before God. And death came. Why? Because they would not heed the Spirit's voice. They would not refrain from their sin before Almighty God.
Again tonight you think of Belshazzar, a man who mocked God in the Old Testament book of Daniel. And God spoke to him one day by writing on the wall. He says, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." And it says, on that night, the very night that God spoke to him and God warned him, it says, on that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. That very same night that God spoke, King Belshazzar, the most powerful man in the world at that time, was slain, taken out of this scene of time, taken out into eternity. See, oftentimes when God stops speaking, death comes. And death can come very suddenly. It can come very swiftly. There was once a young man who attended a gospel mission, gospel meetings. He was under a conviction of sin. And on the Lord's Day evening of that mission, he spoke to the preacher about his need of salvation, and the preacher talked with him at length. Sought the best he could to point him to the Lord Jesus Christ, but the young man said no. And he went home that night rejecting the Lord as a Savior. The following Saturday, that young man was in God's eternity. His life was taken from him suddenly cut off, without leaving behind any trace of a testimony whatsoever of God's saving grace in his heart and in his life. Friend, the Bible says, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. And then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Oh, friend, tonight do not turn away from God's speaking voice. There are some voices in this life you can turn away, and maybe the consequences will not be so great. But you know, to turn away from God's speaking voice, the consequences are terrible. The hymn writer says, "While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do no longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom. Be in time." Again, the hymn writer says, "O sinner, while the Spirit is striving with thee, what if he should strive nevermore? But leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore." Oh, while time and opportunity is on your side, while you've got health and while you've got strength and the gift of all your faculties, embrace Christ as the only Savior from sin. On this first Lord's Day evening of 2023, Christ came. Christ died upon the cross. He shed his blood. He rose again to provide salvation for all who will embrace him, all who will trust him as Savior. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Turning your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter number 55. Look with me, please, at verse 6 and verse 7 of that chapter. Notice what it says. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Friend, if you're not saved tonight, heed these words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Turn from your sin. Turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. And look at the glorious promise here at the end of verse 7. It says of the Lord, he will abundantly pardon. He'll pardon all your sins forever. Cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness, washed away by the blood of Christ. Oh, this night, friend, turn from your sin. Flee to Christ. Heed God's warning tonight when he says in his word, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Friend, don't go away without trusting the Lord and calling upon the Lord. Embrace him as your own and personal Savior. Begin this new year with Christ as your Savior. Having settled the eternal destiny of your soul and be sure of heaven by putting your faith and trust in Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We're going to turn, please, in closing in our hymn book to hymn number 232. 232, "O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow, in pain. We're going to sing the first and the third verse only. Verses 1 and 3 along with the chorus, standing as we sing and thinking of the words as we sing. If you're not saved tonight, that you would turn to the Savior and trust Him and embrace Him as your Savior. 232, verses 1 and 3 along with the chorus. Close our meeting of word of prayer. But there's one tonight and there's concern in your soul about your need of salvation. I encourage you this night to seek the Lord. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'd be no hurry away. Be glad to open up the scriptures with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is mighty to save. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy presence. We thank thee for help given in the ministry of thy word. Take thy word, Lord, and write it upon every heart tonight. Lord, you have said in thy word that my spirit shall not always strive with man. Should there be any with us tonight on sea of Lord, may this word be as a warning, a red light warning to their soul. I know that tonight that they would seek the Lord and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us. Bless us throughout this new week that lies before us. For we do pray and we ask all these things. For Jesus' sake and glory, amen and amen.